So our text for this observation of the baptism of our Lord is from Matthew chapter 3, these words, "But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the baptism of Jesus, the baptism of Jesus is an event that challenges us, isn't it? It challenges us to understand it. I mean, what John the Baptist says, right on the money. Jesus did not need to be baptized by John, for Jesus had no sins to confess, no repentance to express, no evil to regret. Jesus was, after all, the holy and righteous Son of God, whose birth had been prophesied by the prophets, proclaimed by the angels, announced by the star. Yes, John the Baptist was right. Jesus did not need John's baptism. John the Baptist needed Jesus' baptism. And yet Jesus had John baptize him to fulfill all righteousness. We'll come back to that idea. For after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, Jesus himself told his disciples to go throughout the world, teaching the nations what he had taught them and baptizing the nations as well, baptizing them in his Father's name, baptizing them in his Spirit's name, baptizing them in the Son's name, in Jesus Christ. So then the apostles would teach that baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit was in fact a baptism into Jesus Christ, in which the person so baptized put on Jesus, repressing the old Adam every day and expressing the new man always, living daily, having been washed and renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit in that baptism, as we read in Titus chapter 3. Baptism now saves you, so Peter would teach in his first epistle. And whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. The words of Jesus himself in Mark chapter 16. The crowd that gathered in Jerusalem on Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ, after his ascension, hearing Peter's sermon about how they had crucified the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, they cried out, "What should we do? What should we do?" And Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So there, that day, circumcision, the sacrament of the Old Testament, which included the children of Israel in the promise made to Abraham by God, circumcision at that moment was superseded by the New Testament sacrament of baptism, the physical sign of the scar of circumcision of flesh being removed from the body, being replaced by the spiritual sign of the Holy Spirit, the flesh of the old Adam being removed from the heart. Thus, the physical nation of Israel was superseded by the spiritual nation of Israel, the Israel of man by the Israel of God, as we read in Galatians 6. In much the same way as the sacrament of baptism in the New Testament replaced that of circumcision, the spiritual replacing the physical, so the New Testament of the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of the once and for all crucified and resurrected and ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the body and blood of Christ present sacramentally, mysteriously in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, it replaced the Old Testament sacrament of the Passover, the yearly consumption of a lamb sacrificed for the sins of the family which consumed it. Why? Why the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper instead of the sacrificed lamb of the Passover? Because the final sacrifice had been made in the crucifixion death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His sacrifice then 2,000 years ago occurring to cover up, to pay for the sins that we as of yet today commit, sins that are thus forgiven. But how could that be so? How could that be so? Because Jesus wasn't simply man, not simply a human being, not simply a creature, but Jesus was the Creator, the divine being, God Himself. His death then undergone voluntarily, done to cover the sins of the whole world throughout time and space, your sins, my sins. Baptism then marks us as spiritually circumcised. The Lord's Supper, as those who through faith receive the body and blood of Christ in with and under bread and wine, spiritually, mysteriously granting us the benefit of that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That's why we heard. That's why we heard then in our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians that God himself is the source of our life in the here and now in Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. So returning then to the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan River, that done to fulfill all righteousness. What's that all about then? What's it all about? Well, the people were going out to John to be washed symbolically, to demonstrate publicly that they wished to stop doing what they were doing, which was wrong, and start doing that which was right, being washed with water, symbolizing that their sins were being washed from their bodies. But that was it. That was it. When Jesus stepped into the Jordan, he had no sin to be washed away, but he did have his righteousness, his holiness, his sinlessness to impart into the waters of holy baptism. So in Christ then something was added to baptism that was never there before. In Christ, baptism would not be merely a symbolic act, the one being so baptized, saying to all those around him or her that they wanted to stop sinning and start living as they should. But nothing more. No Christ, no Holy Spirit, but a baptism into Christ is a baptism in which Christ comes to dwell in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit follows, washing and regenerating and renewing us as the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ, bringing to the human nature of Christ even more gifts than he had by being united to the divine nature. So the Holy Spirit descended upon us in our baptisms as well, making us, through the faith it created within our hearts, sons and daughters of God. Yes, we don't hear the voice from heaven when someone is baptized saying, oh, this is my beloved son, or this is my beloved daughter, but that is exactly what's happening there when a child is baptized, when an adult is baptized. God is saying, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter. So the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Through our baptisms into Christ, we are born of God. Through our baptisms, God chose us to be his children. Through our baptisms, God asserted once again that he, God, our Creator, is a source of our life in Christ Jesus, who God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. Because Christ stepped into the Jordan River, all righteousness would be fulfilled, so that we who were nothing could become and remain forever something. So our epistle reading, God choosing us, God choosing what is foolish in the world, God choosing what is weak in the world, God choosing what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, so that none of us can boast in the presence of God. But that, of course, is what people do. It's what they do in these end times. Our tendency is not to live humbly by faith, but somehow to look to some organization or some group of people, something that the world can identify as important, of meaning, of substance, as if the only way we can exist in this world is if we're somehow anchored to something. Here we're like the people who built the Tower of Babel, the destruction of mankind and the great flood of Noah being in their minds. Yes, those people who built the Tower of Babel in order perhaps somehow to create a structure to ensure that they would not drown in a flood ever again. But we know it didn't work. And we know that Sodom and Gomorrah weren't destroyed with water but with fire from heaven. And other such cities were destroyed by earthquakes and invading armies. No, the way to survive in these end times is not to somehow, some way, try to become part of something within the world that has a worldly name, a worldly structure, a worldly foundation to cling to. Instead, we cling to our Savior, Jesus Christ, in faith. We cling to our baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Now, it is interesting, of course, that in the Old Testament sacrament of circumcision, there'd be a scar made upon the body of each male child. It would certainly, that scar, be a reminder of that circumcision throughout life itself. But there's no scar that reminds us of our baptism into Christ. What has occurred to us in our baptism is that which is not seen, as Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, that is the work of the Spirit. But then again, our baptism into Christ, it's not done. It's not completed yet. Our baptism, it isn't finished. Our baptism, it hasn't come to an end. We are, by means of faith in Christ, who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption, living within our baptism every single day of our life. Our baptism into Christ, not to come to completion until we're raised from the dead on the last day and our souls are reunited with our bodies, which no longer will be stained with sin. At that point on the last day, our baptism into Christ will be completed. Now that's a bit mind-blowing, isn't it? That we daily continue to live in our baptisms. If anything, our confession of sins and their being absolved, a sign of our baptism still being a living and active part of us. And we must think this. Because if we don't think this way about our baptism, it'd be like thinking that Christ's work, his redemptive action, was completed when he was crucified. No. Christ's redemptive work included the crucifixion, but continued on with his resurrection from the dead. His institution of baptism, then his institution coming into force because all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him in his resurrection from the dead. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is what he said then. But then Christ's work continued in his ascension to the right hand of God and will only come to completion when he returns on the last day to take to himself to heaven to live eternally all those who have been called sons and daughters of God through baptism. So much is going on in the baptism of Christ by John the Baptist. But the same is true about our baptisms into Christ. The very same thing is true about our baptisms into Christ, in which we continue to live even now. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.